When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The wager I'm proposing is very simple. The top of the building is sort of an architectural monstrosity. You walk all the way around, scab be removed from the car, you get the money, and you get my wife. You're crazy.
Big Pecker.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Greetings and welcome back to Film Sack, or to it for the first time, and welcome to the continuing episodes that are in Sacktober 2022. My name is Scott Johnson. I'm joined today on episode 572 by Brian. This will keep happening if he keeps using his left tit as a coaster, Dunaway.
Oh, no. And look, now it's wet. Oh, hi.
Hi.
This week on Film Sack, we make a deal with HBO Incorporated to finally quit our nasty habit of watching crappy horror movies from the 80s, only to find ourselves stuck in traffic digging through our dirty glove box of gum and VHS tapes for just one more hit. Just one. It can't hurt to just watch one, right? Oh, yeah, that's the stuff. Oh, hi, HBO. Sorry, fam. Besides, you don't need pinkies to do the electric slide, honey. Yes, I'm a son of a bitch. Anywho, on to our most's favorite thing to do. Put on our tiny troll costumes complete with tiny bells and convince superstitious moms that stray cats are the problem. And it's not we that are hiding in Drew Barrymore's DMs, eating her tweets and stealing her life force. No! Help me, Obi Kitty Kitty. You are my only hope. Seriously, though. Drew Barrymore survived Hollywood. She's a legend. Please don't set me on fire. Movies aren't real, right? All right. There are no real monsters unless you count kids who chew gum after they brush their teeth. They can go straight to hell and play fetch with Cujo. Randy, are you using your left tit for a coaster? Nice. Then you get my wife.
I'm glad that you remembered that left tit thing as I did.
Yeah. Yes. How could you forget it? It almost tried to fly by, and I was like, no, what does that catch it?
Yep. Mm. Go back, listen again, make sure it happened, then record it, play it on the show, and say it four times. That's what we're going to do. Also with us, Randy, nothing says horror like being slowly pecked to death by a pigeon, Jordan.
Mm.
And he's not
saying he's muted, or he's muted. AFK.
Yes. There he is. Here. He
was muted. Aloha, hello. Scott, Brian.
Brian.
Yeah.
Randy.
Thanks for coming to this focus group for our new video game. Now that you've all signed your non-disclosure agreements, I can tell you that what you're about to play test today is a brand new game where you are a lost cat. That's right.
Whoa.
You're... What's that? So... Someone else made that? Oh, crap. Shut it all down. Wait, hold on. Folks, before we shut it all down, we may as well enjoy the coffee and donuts, right? It used to be we'd also enjoy the cigarettes, but those days are long past. Am I right? I always used to say, you know, back in the day, I always used to say, the first cigarette after lunch is one of the best 31 cigarettes of the day. Yes. Now, nowadays, we all quit, but it was real hard. Am I right? It was real hard. I'm a stand-up comic now. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but when I quit smoking, I had to follow three strict rules for successful cessation. Number one, don't go around and dispose of all of your existing cigarettes. Just keep them around in closets and glove compartments. As you know, cigarettes don't go stale. Number two, don't share the experience with someone who, you know, you already spend a lot of time around. Go it alone. You'll surely be fine. Number three, it's important. If you get help from a professional and that person or service turns out to be a criminal enterprise, never report them to the police. People who report criminals to the police always go back to smoking that delicious smoke. Man, I would give your finger for a cigarette right now. I'd give two of your fingers for a cigarette right now. Oh, my God, you're missing two fingers. And scene.
Yeah, and scene. You just, you know, that's a pretty good summation of the James Woods.
The whole first segment. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
I wonder if that lady's pinky, did she really not have a pinky? Were we into
it? I don't know. I didn't want to.
It looked like it was folded behind it, like it was okay, a camera angle and little.
There you go.
Sharpie lines to look like stitches.
Yeah.
Right. So there was no ad in the Hollywood and looking for a person with a pinky nub.
No, like probably that. Not.
No.
Right.
No,
now let me ask you this before I throw it to Ibbot. Can you guys hold your pinky back and straighten the rest of your fingers? I can't do it.
Ooh, yes,
yeah,
no.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't do it.
I practiced this stuff as a kid. I practiced.
I can't do it.
Keep your, if I tuck it under, if I jam the tip of my pinky into my palm, I can.
So I can do that. But if you hold your pinky, you can do it, which is probably what they did. They strapped it or glued it or whatever.
I'm sure it was strapped in.
But if you're trying to just move it there and hold it, that finger next to it's like, nope, I'm coming with.
Well, maybe they
using prosthetics elongated her other fingers and then just put a cap on her pinky.
That's hilarious. Kind of go old school where people got the long arms and shit. That's weird. But I also have hitchhiker's thumb, so that may be,
Knuckle
goes back too far.
Yeah.
Zings back, yeah.
Yeah, you people and your weird magic. All right, sorry.
Well, that's my intro anyway. So,
yeah, there's your intro. Good done. Enough. Just kidding. Here it is. It's Brian pinching off people's nose in their sleep was his night job, Ibbot.
It's totally true.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Stephen King. You might know me from books. And I'm here to talk to you about People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or PETA. You see, my movie, Cat's Eye, just got released to theaters, and my agent thought it would be a good idea for me to get ahead of things and talk about how much I love animals. Mm. Take my friend Dolores Claiborne, for example. She was in such misery over her dog that she finally had to take a stand against... What? Stop doing that? Doing what? Okay, anyway. I love all kinds of animals, from dogs to even other kinds of dogs. Pigeons I'm not so fond of. It reminds me of a story. Takes place in a small town in rural Maine. There's a curiosity shop, and all they sell are people's wishes. And there's a little old shopkeeper named Greg. And Greg said, okay, Pete, I'll get back to your damn script. People are going to see this movie and think I hurt and scared a cat. And that's simply not true. And I can understand how someone outside of the film industry would think that. No, see, when you're making a movie that stars a cat, you actually have 12 cats, and we probably scared 7 or 8 of them. Well, Petey, your damn script sucks. It's all about parakeets and pigeons, and there's no twist at the end. Like, this recording booth is actually a bathroom stall, and I'm in an airport. Good night. I'm Stephen King.
It's pretty good. I love Stephen King. Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
That's how it sounds when you're his audiobooks where he reads them.
Audiobooks.
Yeah.
I appreciate
it. I can't listen to one without falling asleep.
Yeah.
You know, you watch this movie and you think initially, oh, they're just going to reference every Stephen King book he ever wrote. Like, it feels like such an initial hit.
And then they do.
And so I'm really, really glad that of all the things you could have worked in, you worked in Needful Things, because that's just like, it's like the, you know what I mean? It's like the most complicated and like the most people you have to learn about an entire town full of people when you read Needful Things. Like,
yeah, Needful Things
you,
is kind of
how do you
dense.
Reference that?
Yeah, that book is dense, which is why I've always said that's the reason it's never translated to film very well. It's just way too dense.
Hold on a second. Are you referring to me talking about the curiosity shop in Maine that sells people's wishes?
Right. Yeah.
I have never read nor watched Needful Things.
Oh my gosh.
I was trying to come up with the tropiest Stephen King trope.
Holy shit.
It seeped into you. It seeped in.
Brian, you literally
100% serious.
You described Needful Things.
Yeah, you did.
I'm with Randy here. I 100% thought that's what you were talking about.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, no, I had no, I seriously wrote this
last night
at 11 o'clock. And I'm like,
I don't know if you're a genius or if Stephen King's a hack. I don't know what to think.
Right. Well,
and the thing is, I don't think Needful Things is one of his best books because it's not hacky. He goes really, really deep on different people and their relationships. And actually the twist at the end is not that exciting or interesting. You know what I mean? Like, it's a great book.
Oh, like most Stephen King books.
Yeah.
But most Stephen King books live and die on a twist, like this one, it doesn't matter.
The twist for, the good Stephen King books, the twist happens throughout the book, but the final thing is like,
that's insane. Yeah.
The pinky. It's like, oh my gosh, wait a minute. You mean they were serious about that thing after showing me all the other things that they were serious about? Yeah, was smoking?
Yeah. That's the thing. Well, the thing about this entire movie, Cat's Eye by what's his name? Lewis Teague.
Thank you for saying the name of the film.
The thing about this entire movie is we have seen too many damn movies since this movie came out. You know, like I kept trying to say, okay, I'm in 1985. I have not seen dozens of good horror movies. I am in 1985 and I just couldn't do it. This movie
really
does not think about you as an audience. It is just trying to tell what was the TV show? Some Twilight Zone stories. It's Twilight Zone stories.
Yeah.
And it's as good as it's going to get.
Yeah. I mean, my only complaint really is that it's PG-13 and a little bit light on scares and gore and junk.
Like, yeah.
I wanted horror movies.
They're interesting stories, but they're no more interesting than you'd see on an episode of Tales from the Dark Side or
Tales from the Crypt. Yeah.
Tales from the Crypt or Creepshow or, I guess Creepshow's a newer thing, but but a TV based version of this, just as sanitized and just as, ooh, wouldn't it be interesting if there was a company that helped people stop smoking by threatening their loved ones guy go around the edge of a building.
You're right. It feels like TV in a lot of ways, and that's okay. Go ahead, Dunaway.
I was just going to say, I appreciate it because this is a time when there was such a big difference between the big budget movies and the smaller movies. Now we just have nothing but big budget movies. You can't even hardly get a freaking movie in the theater unless it has a massive budget. Even the smallest piece of crap has a massive budget. This was just, it almost has the budget of a TV show. So, you're kind of going to float in that quality.
Sure. One part that I could not, I mean, I know we'll jump around between the three segments. There's no need to do any of this in order, but, there were certain casting choices that threw me. Like the dude, I forgot his real name. I have to look it up here real quick. But the guy who's walking around the building is the dude. He's Ted. He's Ted from Airplane. And I could not take that segment seriously.
Oh, really?
I just couldn't do it.
Surely you could.
No, call me Shirley.
I was trying to work in. My intro was originally going to have a walking around a building over Atlantic City. Over Atlantic City? No, I'll never be over Atlantic City.
Amazing.
That's perfect.
But this idea that he's, me knowing who that is, just drove me slightly nuts because I expected him to, that sweat scene from Airplane where he can't stop sweating. It's just pouring out of him.
Sweating a lot. I didn't think about that.
So it just threw me. I don't know. I couldn't take it seriously. Although the actor who we were thinking Charles Durning the other day and we were wrong, but the guy who plays Baron Harkonnen in the original Dune movie is your mob jerk who's making him walk around the building.
Right.
And I liked his performance.
Oh, you're talking about Kenneth McMillan is Kresner?
Yes. I enjoyed his whole vibe.
He stole the show.
He's keeping you on your toes.
Yeah. He was great. God. And by the way, I always thought that guy was old. He died at 56, man. He was young.
Really? Wow. Yeah. How long after making this movie or 80, after Dune? 89? I guess this was before Dune.
So 89.
No, Kenneth McMillan's were harmed in the making of this film.
So it was only four years after this. He was basically our age when he made this movie.
Okay. Wow.
And that's the
and
end
he's
of that.
Hilarious. Oh, my God. When he's under threat of gun and being killed, he's flipping through that penthouse.
I know. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Like, it's almost distracting him from being shot. It's such a great. Like, hold on a second.
And, like, if you want, if I was to break down the stories as best to worst, I think the smoking story is maybe the best story, but the best acting happened in two with him. And in three, I don't know how to feel about three. Three had some interesting practical effects that I like.
I think anybody is going to look
at the practical effects are spectacular.
Yeah, they were pretty good. Come on now.
There's only. Go ahead.
I'm going to say about those practical effects real quick. So they're the when they had to use green screen because he's up on her face.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Maybe that looked a little bad, but when he's running around doing other shit, you could tell what they had done is made a large set. So that the door was gigantic, the bed was huge, the shoe was huge. I respect that kind of work. I think that's so cool.
Yeah.
And I really liked that bit just from that visual standpoint. That was fine.
The only thing, and it's, I mean, I know it's, you know, I don't know exactly how they do it, but the you can see the green skin when or screen when he's squishing her nose closed.
Yes, right. Which is amazing.
But to have the dude in the costume and you know and have it not look super janky with the exception of the green screen is like, all right, that's really impressive for 1985.
I agree.
How did they pinch her nose? I was just trying to think. I was like, well, what did they pinch her nose with? Because it had to be behind that object, you know.
Exactly. So I'm like, it'd have to be covered up by his hand. It's got to be like
probably a little kid.
Did it in perfect timing. It was really good.
Probably a little kid's little hand. Or something,
maybe like a little tweezers or something.
Yeah,
I figured it was probably like some kind of something very thin, like tweezers of some sort.
That it'd be some sort of specially created device that just, you know, maybe even
using one of those those dinosaur grippy things you used to get at the travel shop. Oh, I'm talking about
the handle. Yeah, I love those. Yeah. I thought those were so cool. I'd always break them, but I loved them. Those are awesome.
It's
just a weird mix, right? Like the idea of an anthology movie is supposed to be a weird mix. It's supposed to be like, hey, here's a very different story than the next one, but they're all connected with this stupid cat, and the cat is really nothing to do with anything.
Except the third story is all cat. And it's like, so you have to have that as the final thing, right? Because it's a story. The overall movie is a story about a cat, and the cat ends up having its big, you know, climax scene in the third story. So you can't put the third story earlier in the movie is what I'm saying. Cause that's the whole thing is leading you to that. But I think anybody who watches this movie is going to be kind of like, oh, the first two are a thing. They're episodes of the Twilight Zone. Mm-hmm. And then the last one is just a trope. It's just one trope. And the trope is if one of your characters is young enough, no one believes them.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's like the kid isn't believed. They blame the cat when they should have been blaming something else. You know, like they don't have the imagination. The parents don't have the imagination to understand what's going on.
Right.
Just,
and
you
this,
know,
this all boils end. This all boils down. The reason why these are tropes is Stephen King works in what we have universal horrors, which are going to be things that are going to be tropes. So, so that's not being believed while something's attacking you. These are all primitive fears that we have. It makes us feel very vulnerable. So.
Which is like the core of almost everything he makes. You're absolutely right. Most of his books are that. Like, what's the fear of the stand? The stand deals in the fear of society's breakdown. As the core. There's lots of little individual things, but that's the main issue. And then what does it deal with when it's it? Well, it's freaky clowns under the freaking street. Like, in some ways, it's his trick or it's his.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know his thing.
And there's story here. Yeah. There's story here. All during Quitter's Inc., you're thinking, why did this guy engage with these people in the first place? Yeah. You know, like how does he get out of this now? What has he got to do to get out of the arrangement and so on and so on? With the ledge, there's a whole story. There's a tennis pro, and it answers the question. Well, what if the jilted husband ever got his hands on the tennis pro who was sleeping with his wife? What would he do? And this kind of, you know, like there's stuff there. But then the third one is just plain and simple. There's a tiny little monster, and it's just not, you know, a monster exists. Okay.
And there's no real twist to it. It's not like, you know, the twist is, oh, finally there's evidence and the parents finally believe her that there was a little troll in the room because there's a little knife and a little arm and goo all over the fan.
Yeah.
I actually liked the way it was wrapped, because even though this third story is, if you just pull it apart and go, okay, here it is. Yeah, it's the weakest of the stories. However, it's sprinkled over the entire movie, and it gives us a look at what is a cat's role in our relationships with cats. And there's this, I thought there was a lot of interesting, it left a whole bunch of things open. so that I could like fill in with, you know, what is a relationship with cat? I like movies that leave me with questions.
Would you have liked it better if the cat was somehow responsible for Cressner falling off the ledge instead of it being the pigeon having the cat like go out there and trip him up?
I love that it was the pigeon. That's because those pigeon. Are the, yeah. the I know because if he had a cat there with him, if the cat had been out there with him, if Cressner had left him alone, he could have saved this guy because, you know, he kind of got on his side. He kind of started getting towards Robert Hayes. He could have saved him from the bird. There was a lot of anti-bird in this film.
Yeah. I think it was enough that the cat tripped up the henchman. That was enough for me. Mm. That satisfied the story.
Right.
That's true. Yeah, I guess he did get involved as opposed to just being a prop like he was in Quitters Inc. Speaking of which, does the dude just go out and find a cat every time they have somebody new coming to the
That seemed inefficient to me.
Saved him a trip, he said, to the pound.
Oh, yeah. To the shelter. Okay.
But that just seems inefficient to me. Like, you should have backups. You just
use the same cat for your
home. What happened to the last cat? They said they weren't harming him. That cat looked like it was getting harmed. Yeah. I don't know how you make that cat jump like that and not at least go, oh, yeah, we was at least traumatizing.
I don't know. I didn't see it in the credits. I didn't stick around. But did they do a disclaimer about no animals were harmed during the film?
I did have to read up on that because it was like, all right, that cat looks A, like it's getting electrocuted. Mm-hmm. B, that cat running across the street looks scared as shit.
But the sparks were animation. You could tell the sparks were animation.
Sure, but making it jump like that? You know,
compressed air. A can of compressed air underneath that.
That's mean.
Trauma. It's trauma. It's definitely trauma.
It's freaking mean, man. I mean, I don't know that
for our entertainment.
They wouldn't do that today. They'd CGI shit or something. I don't know what they'd do.
To point out that is the moment at which my wife left watching the movie and didn't come back.
I'm out.
She only saw the first sixth of this movie, of this movie.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
This movie is torture. So, I mean, if that's what this movie is really about, if you really look at it, every segment is about torture.
It's all torture.
So if you can't deal with that, then this is not going to be the
movie. So let's look at the three main fears. First one, torture is addiction and not being able to control yourself. Right. And then having dire consequences. Second one is torture of being at heights or whatever scares you about being on the outside of that building and threatening and the wife's head and all that.
Sure.
And then third one is someone's going to stop me from breathing or steal my air while I sleep and I'm going to die.
Right. Yeah. Right.
That's the weird one to me because that's a very intimate one.
Did anyone have the thought, oh, that little goblin is trying to steal her soul? Did you think that?
Yeah. I thought it was trying to steal her life force is what I. That's the kind of the trope, right?
Yeah. Because like the mist coming out of her is not just air, you know?
Right.
Right.
Unless that's just what they have to show. To show that he's really close to taking her air is that
right?
But yeah, I mean,
I gotta say, the biggest mistake in the film was trying to make me smile by showing me the world's tiniest knife on that fan. I'm sorry, because up to that point, you're seeing a knife that seems dangerous.
Yeah,
it seems it doesn't seem like lethal, but it seems dangerous. Right. Mm-hmm. And then when you see the world's tiniest knife, you're like, oh, it wasn't dangerous. You're supposed to laugh and go, oh, how silly. But I was just like, no, screw you, movie. Show me the knife that you've been showing me all along.
Right.
Because I'm supposed to be scared, you know?
Mm, yeah.
I think the biggest mistake they made for me was hiring both Robert Hayes and James Woods because it's like putting Leslie Bibb and Maggie Grace in the same movie.
I thought the same thing.
I mean, if we didn't know, you know,
both of those actors well, but if we didn't,
If we didn't know, like James Woods, you know, whatever his current state of things is super weird. But so if we didn't have that, like if you came to this raw, you'd think, oh, they're bringing him back for the second.
Not only that, they literally had James Woods talk to James Rebhorn. Mm-hmm. James Rebhorn shows up and I'm like, that's his other guy. That's the other guy that's like him. You know?
Rebhorn. We see him a lot on Film Sack. I feel like.
And
I loved his little big trouble in Little China smoke.
Mm-hmm. I'm right, like 15 cigarettes at once, and
I only
have James 2 years ago,
a couple years.
Oh, for 2014. Wow. Okay.
I always think I don't know why my most notable memory of him, and even though it's a million things, the guy worked like crazy, was 1998's finale of Seinfeld. He played the DA who was prosecuting Jerry and George and Elaine, and I never forget that for some reason. But
Scent of a Woman is the dean of the school that I took a flamethrower to this place.
Yeah, he ended up becoming that's what he became. Lawyers and stodgy school runners.
Kind of the villain, the typical villain kind of dude.
Yeah, kind of but in everything.
Not the big boss, but the mini boss.
Right. what were you saying, Randy? You said something about
I actually thought we had seen James Rebhorn more in FilmSec. This is only the fourth one as far as I can see.
So what, we got The Game, we got
The Game, Real Steel, and Independence Day.
Yeah. Oh, is he in Real Steel?
Yeah, he's in Real Steel. Yeah. And of course, for my money, The Game is the standout there. That's like, he's amazing in that movie, and plays an important role. In that.
That's what I'm trying to remember. Jeez, I can't remember these characters. Remember. That's terrible.
I know. I can remember Sean Penn. I can remember Michael Douglas. What was James Rebhorn's?
Rebhorn was like the main foil in the company that was orchestrating all of this.
He's the one that stood there in the scene, and he has that famous scene where he's standing there going, "You don't know that man," or whatever. There was like a moment. Yeah. I can't remember.
He plays the company man. That's the reason why I never can. That's what it is.
And just while we're on actors we've seen a lot before, and I'm not counting Frank Welker, sorry, never will.
I have to.
No more Optimus Prime.
Frank Welker when we see him and or hear him speaking like a human. If you got that, then he counts. But him making cat noises, like why didn't they just record a cat?
Oh yeah. So, because you have to torture a cat to make him meow like that. Oh,
wow. Oh, yeah, they did. But you know,
shame.
The person in this film, and it's a blink and you'll miss him. Person in this film is Charles Dutton. Charles Dutton,
The Rock.
Yeah,
or just Rock.
Just Rock.
Yeah, just Rock.
Just Rock. No, okay.
A Rock.
Yes. Charles Dutton has been in 6 FilmSack films now.
Yeah, Alien 3 to be pointed.
Yeah,
about
that's a good one.
Yeah, loved him in that. Yeah. Tell me the others.
Who was he in this? He was one of the henchmen, right? One of Gambler Dude's buddies.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, his character name was Dom. And again, he was really like barely in this movie.
Yeah.
Let's see.
His character name's like Ducky, Dom. What was the guy from the very beginning? It's a really weird name.
Oh, Junk. Yeah.
Tony
Monofo.
Yeah. Monofo, yeah.
We've seen him 5 times now. He gets these little bit roles in FilmSack movies. Yeah. Tony Monofo.
Do you notice that
Why doesn't he have an IMDb photo? Because I instantly recognizable.
I know, right? It's weird. He just doesn't care about it or something. Who knows? I guess your people have to put something up there, but
I have to pay $10 to upload my photo. I'm not going to do it.
That's right. See,
I'm not subscribing to IMDb Pro. Forget that crap.
Yeah, listen here, see? I don't know why he talks like that, but the guy who I always see and I always think it's Danny Aiello.
Mike Starr,
who played Ducky. It's impossible for me to separate those two men. I can't do it.
Yes, it is. Right. Absolutely. Like, which one was in Harlem Nights? I don't know. Which one was in Dumb and Dumber is the big question.
Well, I know it's Mike Starr because I looked it up, but before I looked it up, I didn't know. Like, that's how bad it is. And I'm not saying, great. He's good. And also, so it was Danny Aiello, but they're interchangeable. They're the Leslie Bibb. What's the other
name? Maggie Grace.
Maggie Grace.
Star outlived Aiello, so maybe he's the victor.
He's the victor here.
He's the Highlander of this scenario. Man. Gotcha.
Whoever wins lives the longest wins. Yeah, see, I'm looking at a picture.
Mike Starr's in a bunch. He's a great older like mobster now. He's in movies as a or TV shows as a like just a heavy, and he's an older guy wearing a tracksuit.
He's perfect for it. Apparently, they were together.
Running in those dress shoes. That was great in the opening with the Quitters Inc.
Oh yeah, running back and forth in his dress shoes.
Oh god. Oh yeah, my gosh.
The disguised
that guy
as the jogger. Yeah,
that guy sucked. Who was he? Nobody. He's nobody. Junk. Right.
He was a dude who was keeping an eye on Woods.
I'm saying the actor. What did we know him from? Nothing.
Oh, nothing.
Sweaty feet in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just struck
me. Dude who laughs at cats.
Yeah.
And wives getting tortured.
He struck me as somebody's brother-in-law who got on set and they said, "Hey, can you step in and do this for us and wear these shoes?"
Speaking of which, how come they're Stephen King usually try and find a way to do a cameo in some of his films?
Back then, yes. Yeah. Especially back then.
The only thing I saw was his Pet Cemetery book. I saw a couple of little references that.
Dead Zone on the TV and Christine Carr.
You didn't need to put a bumper sticker on that car.
Isn't that great?
I know. They might as well have a name tag on the dog that said, "Hi, my name is Cujo." Oh,
that was stupid.
It was stupid. So, yeah, with all the King cameos, maybe he just felt like this was one to sit out. He doesn't need his face in it, I guess.
Also, right? Hey, IMDb editors, people around here who, you know, can go edit IMDb. The trivia doesn't need to be 17 entries on these references. It could be one entry with all of the references to other Stephen King.
So true. Yeah.
This movie inspires individuals who like to go too far. If you go to this is the first time I've ever seen it on Wikipedia on any of the movies we've seen. There is a notice on the plot. This article's plot summary may be too long or excessively detailed. Now it's like, what is this stupid warning? Yeah. I read it. It was too long and it was excessively detailed.
It was a lot.
And
yeah. It was a lot.
All the way from 2017 and still no one's edited it.
I kind of understand that though. Like if I was really into Wikipedia as an editor, I kind of understand. Like, it's a movie where you can't just summarize it, or if you do, I don't think you're doing it justice, because there is a lot under the surface here, at least in the first two thirds.
Right.
But I get it. I understand trying to be like, yeah, but then James Wood is like, why? Okay, I got to explain why in the hell. And I still don't know, by the way, why was he engaged with this outfit? What?
They don't establish it other than he wants to quit smoking. That's it.
Well, his friend dropped him off, who was in the program already. It was one of those things.
Oh, he's supposed to be trying and work for you. Yeah.
And plus his motivation was that he wanted to be there for his family. He kind of mentions that briefly, that, you know, he's doing it for his family, I guess.
Sure. But I mean, if you're going to get psychological help at a new place.
Right. And you're sitting by the mafia and you don't know it until you get in there.
You're sitting in the waiting room and someone gets dragged in kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
You leave.
Yeah.
He was trying to leave and he got caught.
You didn't know it was being run by Catskills comedian Alan King. You didn't.
I love Alan King, by the way.
He's great. He's
such a great pick for this. Such great casting for this role.
I like him a lot as well.
I'm a real son of a bitch.
Left us back in 04, but tons of stuff. He was great in Casino. Good in what else? Rush Hour. He was great. That guy was great.
I don't understand why he was never a general that shows up on an episode of MASH, because he would have been perfect.
Oh, yeah, he would have been good at that. Yeah. That happened a lot with MASH, so I'm surprised they didn't tap that dude. Maybe back then, though, he's on stage going, you take my mother, please, or whatever they were doing back then.
take my wife, please, but I like that one, too.
No. Take my mother.
It was always like the mother-in-law joke and the take my wife, please, so you really just kind of combine the two. Well done.
Not meaning to swing too hard back to Mike Starr, but I just wanted to point out how hard a worker this dude is. He's got 12 projects in pre, post, and complete production status. He worked, was in two films in 2022, one, two, three, four movies in 2021, one in 2020, a bunch of 2019s. Let's see, five movies in 2019. This dude has never not been working since 1978, constant, like multiple times a year in the 90s. 1990 alone, seven movies. What the frick, Mike Starr? You get a star on your forehead.
Yeah, you get a star. Oh, let's not forget to mention the money man, Dino De Laurentiis. He's the money man. He's also the one that if you look at these movies, a lot of these actors, they show up again because he pushes him. He's like, oh, I know this is a box office draw. Firestarter, sure. Let's bring in Drew Barrymore again for some Cat's Eye.
Didn't he do, I don't know this for sure, but didn't he produce most of King's 80s material?
He did. And man, if you want to look like almost everything on the De Laurentiis page is like ripe for film sack because it's just always fun.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
Is he around? Is he still with us? Or?
No. I think he's passed, hasn't he? Okay. No, is he still around? No, 2010. 2010. Okay. He passed away in 2010.
You never
born in 1919. James, take that.
Oh, wow.
Jeez. James Woods is still around, but he has retired. I went and followed up on what.
But retired from sanity, I think.
He's 75 years old, and he's done.
Speaking of Dino De Laurentiis movies, Barbarella, some news dropped that they're making a new one with that girl from Euphoria. I forgot her name. Oh, really? The blonde. Yeah, that could be cool.
Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah, Sydney Sweeney. That's it. Mm-hmm. She likes to. Let me put it this way. That show. She's happy to have her boobs out. Barbarella had her boobs out. We're ready to go. Let's go.
Right. Yeah. This will be perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect
cast. And she's also a good actor. Perfect. So, you know, good actor who's willing to. I'm not saying it's a perfect combination, but if you're going to show your boobs and you're a good actor, I don't know, more power to you, whatever.
Yeah.
Show your boobs.
Personally, I use mine as a coaster, but.
Their own. Your left one, though. Your left one.
Yeah, my left one. The right one's no good. It's
forget
flat.
About the right one.
Slides right off.
Just a joke.
The question I have right now is, why aren't we talking about Drew Barrymore? And I think the answer is because she's so young that we don't think of her as a professional actor in this. And two, she's not really important to the movie. Like, she could have been anybody. Yeah. Laying in a bed with her eyes closed.
I mean, she's good, and she's recognizable, and she's got the ET star power and all that going on. Plus, like you said, Firestarter and stuff. I feel like it was probably a great choice.
Had she started the cocaine by this point?
No, this is right before that. I looked that up. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, this is right before her drug stuff.
God, even this young. Jeez, I was making a joke, but I didn't realize
she was super young when she started on the drug stuff.
Yeah. In this movie, she's 10, 11, glad that, something like that. 10 or 11?
I'm so glad that she made it through Hollywood.
Yeah, for sure.
God, it was
she's doing good. I mean, I'm happy she made it through Tom Green's marriage. I mean, I just, the man, okay, getting through Hollywood and drugs is one thing, but Tom Green's marriage to Tom Green, he's out sucking cows' boobs and stuff. I mean, forget it.
Right.
Yeah. I kind of
There was a recent, I saw something when I was going down reading about Drew Barrymore. She was talking to Jamie Lee Curtis about getting high and watching Halloween, and she ended up having to go to the hospital.
Wow.
Right? That'll do it. So, she would have been super young.
So that would have been let's see.
I mean, she could have seen it in the 80s, but I'm assuming she must have watched it during the 80s like most of the rest of us.
Cuz in this she's like 10 or 11 by the math I can figure out.
She's 10. She's 10,
10. In this movie. And her stories are that around 11 or 12 it was all in. Let's go. Drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bummer. It's a bummer.
But like I said, it's a bummer, but then again, out of all of the teen stars from that era, she did pretty good considering how much
as much as I hate the phrase Hollywood royalty, she is a great entry in the Hollywood royalty list, and has been for I don't know, it's been a good 20-25 years since she really cleaned up and pursued the path that she's currently on.
She's also, I mean, keep in mind, literally from Hollywood royalty, the Barrymores are huge. So she continues it on. Does she have any kids that are like showing promise?
That's an interesting question, right? Yeah. Because we get people forced on us, you know, as an audience. It's like the world says, here, you gotta watch this person in this thing. And we're like, okay. We don't judge them, their abilities, but before seeing them in something. Yeah. And like, it wouldn't surprise me at all if the next generation of Barrymores is in a bunch of movies, you know?
Right.
I mean, good luck to them. I hope they do it without the drugs. And I don't know. I feel like Hollywood's
that's
in a better
thing. If you
better place right, for kids right now, I think.
If you had a Hollywood mom, I mean, who went through all this, it'd be great and also be terrible, because she'd be like, she wouldn't let you do anything. However, she would be a good guy.
Here's what will happen. She's gonna have a daughter who's a really good kid, who's gonna be into acting and be all really have her head on her shoulders. She's over there. Right. But she had a son with Tom Green who just wants to suck cow's udders. That's it.
Okay, well, she didn't have any kids with Tom Green. Both of her children were from Will Copelman.
Oh,
they're both named Copelman.
Good.
Her children are very young. They're
Again, no shade on Tom Green. I kind of like him. I'm just saying, he's.
Oh, I like Tom Green.
Small doses. I like his contribution to the movie Road Trip, because it's kind of Tom Green in small doses. But I don't know if I can sit through Freddy Got Fingered.
I definitely think Tom Green. I think Tom Green knows. Tom Green knows. He's aware of who he is. So I think it's okay to give him some shade.
He absolutely knows. He has a TikTok channel I follow where every TikTok he says, "Hi, I'm Tom Green, and this is my TikTok," and then he does something. Yeah. And part of me, likes that. I don't know what it is about it, but I'll take it. It's fine. Here's some trivia for you. This was against director Lewis Teague's wishes. The studio cut out a prologue that explained the cat's motivations.
Oh, look at that.
They considered it too silly. As a result, many viewers are confused by the connection between the three stories.
No one is confused.
No one's confused. Yeah. It's all fine. I agree with Randy.
I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory. It's called Cat's Eye at the Top. I mean, it's obviously from the cat's perspective. There is a little confusion. It's like, well, why has he got this psychic connection with Drew Barrymore's character who's showing up and, like, giving, you know, I don't know. What was there? Was the scene like some kind of witchcraft thing or something, I'm assuming? Maybe like some kind of put a spell on you cat thing? Does it say what the little thing was?
It didn't say, but maybe that's what it would have been. I don't know.
Right. This is because that part of it is a wholly original story just for this movie, whereas the other two stories are short stories by Stephen King.
Right.
I think from the Night Shift book. So
then the cat is really just there to be us. It's the cat's eye is our eye in those two stories. In the third one, the cat's eye is directly involved in the product. So
our in the first two stories is mostly the cat's butt because he's always running away.
Yeah. Yeah, the cat's asshole. Tail. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. By the way, I have a note here for Ibbot because I just thought this was hilarious because I'm sitting there listening to the movie. We're watching the movie. He goes to that smoker party, which was one of my favorite scenes in the movie. Everything's
such a weird
smoking
hallucination.
It's awesome. Yeah. The painting was my favorite with the eyes that moved and the smoke coming out of his nostrils.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. Anyway, right then I hear this.
Oh yeah.
And I get excited. I'm like, oh, they're gonna play a police song. And I keep listening and I listen. And I'm like, well, so far so good. This party's really kicking off. And then this happens right here. Who the hell is that? That's not them.
No idea.
It's a really good cover though.
No, it's not. A garbage cover that they basically did just to save some money by, you know, not using the police version.
How much money do you save? You still have to pay when you're making a movie.
Yeah, but you don't have to pay the mechanical rights to the police or to A&M, which is, I think, the label that the police were
on. This is why I brought this up, because look what Ibbot knows. He knows things.
Got a knowledge drop on me. Who that hurt?
Bomb dropped. Yeah, that was performed by... Oh, it doesn't even say.
It was performed by Rando at karaoke bar.
By Alan King coming down the steps. I loved it. Mouthing the lyrics.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah.
I picked up on it a lot earlier than Scott because that is the karaoke version of the song. Like you're not hearing the police.
There was just enough going on.
They fooled me.
Yeah, and there was enough going on that it was distracting enough where they fooled me too. It's like, oh, this is that song. And then they used it two other times in the movie.
They did. Yep. Right.
Which tells me they got a deal.
To the cat's eye watching you.
Right, exactly. The cat's eye is watching you. The troll is going to take your breath.
Take your breath. Yes.
And then we get to all learn how record players work in the third part. And it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I was so worried. I was like, no, don't scratch it. Don't scratch it.
It's funny how when you speed up a cover of a police song to 45, when it's a 33 and a third, it all of a sudden starts sounding like another police song. Like it sounds like something from Regatta de Blanc or Outlandish D'Amour, one of the first albums.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the commentary he was making a little,
While we're talking about the music, you want to talk about that last song and Ray Stevens?
Oh, yeah. And let's do talk about that.
Yes, the Ray Stevens songs. I saw that in the credits. I'm like, that wasn't Ray Stevens. Oh,
they call him the Streak. Look at that.
So this is an original song, but it wasn't written for this movie?
Really?
The song Cat's Eye?
Yeah.
It wasn't? Right. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was called Cat's Eye. Yeah. According to the trivia, anyway.
Do you see who co-wrote the song?
Yeah, Bruce Valanche.
Bruce Valanche.
What?
Like Oscar
Valanche.
Oscar comedy writer Bruce Valanche in Center Square.
Yeah,
Bruce
I was going to say Center Square. That's amazing. All right. Well, that's weird.
Yeah.
Very weird. Right. Especially because
the singer is Ray Steve with a PH, right? It's not
like Stephens.
Stephen King.
Stephens.
Yeah. Very, very briefly in The Village People.
Right. Yeah, who was he?
What role did he play?
Yeah.
Hold on.
I don't care about Alf. I want to know what his outfit was.
He's the phone guy, right? Isn't he like the telephone
phone repairman guy? Like the guy who climbs up a pole?
This Ray Stevens, right?
They kind of all did, didn't they?
Yeah,
this they Ray did. Stevens, during his 1 year in the Village People, was the policeman.
Really?
I'll always remember him as Roy from The Great Space Coaster, so you guys can suck it.
Is that true? That's true also?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know what to do with this info. And his name is Ray Stevens. Much.
Exactly blew my mind. I saw that, and 20 minutes worth going down that rabbit hole. There's nothing to do with it.
Ray Stevens is a singer, a country singer, who made one comedy song, and that's what he got famous for.
Oh, no, he did not. He made so many of those. The song Everything Was Beautiful, or Everything Is Beautiful, was the weird anomaly compared to The Streak and Mr. Jaws. Like, as
Ahab the Arab, was that him? Was he Ahab the Rahab?
No, that was Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs. I can't remember who did Ahab the Arab, but it was always, oh, I'm here at the scene of such and such, and what do you have to say about that? And then it's a clip from a popular song of the day. And then, it looks like you're about to eat me. Why are you doing this?
I'm sorry. Ahab the Arab was a Ray Stevens song. It is Ray Stevens.
Yep. Oh, it really was? Yep. Okay.
Ray Stevens doing his thing.
I was a little kid with a record player, and I had all this stuff.
I mean, the only reason I remember that is because I heard it on Dr. Demento when I was a kid. I remember hearing that and going, Ray Stevens with Ahab the Arab. I'm like, this isn't going to play in about 20 years when it's super offensive.
And I had the 45 for Guitar Zan, and it had a special version of The Streak on the B side.
God, I thought his whole shtick, because Ahab the Arab and Guitar Zan weren't songs where it was clips of other songs inserted into him. So I thought that was, I didn't realize he branched out into other kinds of comedy
look
music.
Look at Ray Stevens with a V getting free press out of the cat's eye. Good job.
Right? Well done. It must have been hard though, because I don't know how big Ray Stevens really was, but. He's 83 now. Still with us. Still, still with us at home. 83, looking good. Doing what he needs.
And I'm telling you, The Streak was a very strange thing to me as a small child. It's absolutely chock full of other songs that were like on the radio at a time that I wasn't listening to the radio. You know, like it's like from the early 70s.
Oh god, I was such an AM radio kid that it was like, oh, that's
no, but those songs are from the early 70s, and I'm like listening to The Streak in the late 80s. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it like introduced me to a bunch of stuff that I hadn't heard. But it was strange that way.
Everything Is Beautiful was what? Oh, 1970. So that's pretty old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such a weird turn for him.
Oh, wow. He was only ever married to one lady. I don't know why that impresses me, but in music.
Just
in
the
music,
one lady? Yeah, holy shit.
In the music business.
They call him The Streak, though.
Name people with more, you know, it's just rare is all, you know. You just don't hear about it very often. But anyway, I hope he's okay and someone's bringing him his porridge this morning or whatever soft food he needs.
They call me the shit.
Here's one. It said here, the police song, you say you hear it in a few places. Original version was too expensive. The cover was used, and I guess it was so cheap they used it three times. So we already read that. Yeah. Here we go. Lewis Teague, director of Cat's Eye, also directed Cujo. Also Cujo and Christine were both films released in 1983. Then the very next year, Maximum Overdrive. King was a busy boy.
Yes.
It was all
he
shit.
Was a busy boy.
But not Teague. Teague didn't direct Maximum.
No. But the idea, all the Stephen King shit was just proof that Stephen King was having a moment, although I think kind of a bad moment in retrospect. It's not really good.
During the whole, all of the 80s, I mean, everybody was just trying to go. It's like, they're going like, oh my God, Stephen King has so many stories. How do we put this on film? Mm-hmm. And it took a really long time for them to really start getting those right.
How do we put this on podcast? This is our 16th episode where Stephen King wrote at least part of the movie.
He's a busy boy. Had a lot going on.
He's a busy boy.
I'm Stephen King.
What number Christopher Walken movie is this for us?
Do we, again, I don't like to count. hold on.
Yeah, no, I know. It's hardly a Christopher Walken film because he's appearing in another movie that a character's watching.
But. Yeah, it's on the screen, but. I still think
did he get
counts.
A credit in this? He probably did. Yeah, he got a freaking credit.
You got to count it. I think it's fine to count.
Yeah, you have to because his likeness is right there.
Yeah, he's there. He's doing a thing. Yeah, it's a little meta.
We haven't seen the Dead Zone, which we do need to see.
We absolutely need to see Dead Zone. Why have we not done that? What is wrong with us?
I'm going to go back, and I think Randy was saying earlier that you didn't like the practical effects. Randy, was that what you were saying? Because I got to say that I think that.
Oh, I think,
I think the character design is amazing.
There's some effects in this movie that are like made me scratch my head.
The facial movements on the troll alone.
Right. What do you think about the creature design? I think that was just amazing. I loved it. The troll was just amazing.
The troll was great. I thought that worked way better than it should have for 1985. Yeah. I was shocked by that. And you got to remember, this is a year where we got Back to the Future. And the connection here is the same. It's Silvestri, score guy. They couldn't be more different. Although in a couple cases they sound a lot alike, but it's all synthy here, right?
Oh God! Every time they show the cat, it's like Link is finding the Master Sword.
Yeah, he's got his own theme song. I kind of like it.
Did you capture any of that sound?
Music? I did. I caught a piece of it because it sounded just like Marty just punched his name and is now riding off on a skateboard or whatever. It just had that vibe to it. So it's clear he was working. It was working on these two things at the same time. Yeah, no question.
Alan Silvestri was doing stuff. Is that what we said?
Yeah, Silvestri. Yeah, yeah.
Silvestri. Yeah, I always say that. Wrong.
Same guy. So he was having a moment too. Did a lot of movies then, but
not to be confused, Brian, with Tweety and Sylvester.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, Tweety and Sylvester.
But in this one, they decided to go full synth, and then Back to the Future, it's orchestrated, and I think that was the better choice.
If they were going to have those two things reversed, I don't think we'd love Back to the Future as much as we do.
Yeah, I think you're right. I say that about Star Wars too. I don't think Star Wars is a blip on our history without music and sound work.
Without John Williams, for sure.
My favorite cameo of the film, though, had to be the what you can afford when you quit smoking, which is the Cabbage Patch doll that that James Wood was able to afford at this time.
Right.
Amazing.
Oh, take it out of the box. That just devalued it about.
He took it right in the freaking box. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? Well, and his daughter was supposed to be going to the school for exceptional children. And she's like, what's the name? And she's like, Norma. Norm. I'm like, oh, my God. She's not exceptional.
This is her first day at the school.
Okay. Right. Hold on, though. By exceptional children, do we mean? Yeah.
Well, we don't know.
School?
The movie didn't know either.
That's what I was trying to figure out.
Yeah, we don't know. That's the problem. I when I saw them hugging and hanging out, I went, "Oh, they mean she's special in that way."
Quotes, quote unquote.
Yeah. But maybe she was just super brilliant and therefore was on this a scale of autism that we didn't know about in the 80s. We didn't know what that meant. So I don't know. This movie hand waved the hell out of that.
Yeah, totally. Well, we just need to make Drew Barrymore look different in every time you see her. So let's make her look like this. Yeah. I do have a what grossed Scott out the most. Was there one for you, Scott?
There wasn't, but do tell. Really? Maybe
because there will be as soon as I describe this to you.
All right.
The cat eating the raw fish, the dead fish on the plate with the sprig of parsley, and then licking Drew Barrymore's lips.
Oh, you know what? I didn't connect the two. You were right. That definitely qualifies.
The weirdest, creepiest setup for a thing. Like, what is the cat going to like French Drew Barrymore?
Yeah.
Is the cat going to suck her heart?
Cats are gross, man. Cats are gross. They eat gross things, then they lick things, and they're gross. They're horrible.
My grandmother.
Like their buttholes?
Yeah, their buttholes.
Or quote unquote, cat's eye?
Yeah.
My grandmother came over once to my old apartment. I had a cat named Juliet. And Juliet loved butterscotch dum-dums. So anytime I went to the bank, I would fish through their plant, you know, the.
Stop palming.
They have a planter that's filled with dum-dums at each station. Yeah. I'd find the butterscotch, bring it home, and then I'd lick it to start the smell and then give it to the cat.
Get activated. My grandmother,
you got to activate it so it smells, right? Uh-huh. And then the cat would just go, crazy. My grandmother came over, and I demonstrated this for her, and she says, well, I hope you don't put that back in your mouth after she's licked it, because she goes around and she licks her own butt, and then she licks the other cat's butt in the neighborhood, and then she licks that. And, of course, immediately when she said that, I had to put the thing in my mouth
take that, right. Grandma. Oh, man. You really showed her.
There's butterscotch, but there's something else, too. What is it?
It smells like
butthole.
Cat butthole of all the neighborhood cats.
Yeah, or as Dunaway said, the cat's eye. That's what that's actually
the cat's eye, yeah. Do you ever wrap that back up and take it back to the bank? Wrap it back up? Just put it back
in. No, I don't. No.
I'd like to make a deposit and then run. Just throw it in there and run. I love that.
Can you take these back?
It is this idea, though, that cats are out licking other cats' buttholes. Is that true? I've never even heard that.
Oh, absolutely. My cats, I have five cats, and they're always sniffing butts.
So they're sniffing butts, but they're not licking butts.
Yeah.
Time to change the subject.
Look, I don't know what cats do in their off time.
That's gross. Cats are gross. Here's some more trivia. I don't know if you guys know this, but 10 years from this, 1995, James Woods and Alan King, who were squaring off in this thing, would both appear in Casino together once again.
And it made
me wonder, did they get there, you know, day one and go, hey, remember that weird smoking piece of shit we made? Do you think that happened in the conversation?
If you start smoking yet?
And they just laugh about it. That cat, was that something or what? I'm sure they did.
Anyway, I knew what we did to that cat.
Okay, I got more questions, though, about James Woods. He kept tapping cigarettes in a way that I don't understand now. I will fully admit that I am, and I don't mean the pack, okay, because it was when you would take the cigarettes out of the pack.
Individual, you do this, you would do this with an individual cigarette.
So this is my question. As someone who has never smoked in his entire life, I don't know what that is. What are you tapping? What is happening when you do that?
Okay, so the tobacco, you understand, is little tiny bits of loose leaves.
Yeah.
And it's inside a rolled piece of paper.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so if you hold the thing filter down and tap that filter on your hand or on the table or whatever, that tobacco will pack itself a little bit. And so it'll leave a space at the end of the roll where you're going to light the paper. But you're not. You're not lighting the stuff on fire.
Settling may have occurred. Essentially,
when you do that tapping and you pack it down, it burns slower. The whole thing lasts longer.
Okay, because I've never seen it before. At least I don't think I have. I probably haven't, just didn't register. But he kept doing it. It was impossible for me not to notice it, especially the one he fished out of his glove box and was like hiding. And he's just like, tap, 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 tap. I'm like, what are you doing? What is that?
I lived with two smokers. Any of the four of us ever smoked a cigarette?
I
never smoked one. Yes. Developed a habit.
Did you inhale, Brian?
No, I've smoked a cigarette or two, but never like, I've never smoked a pack or bought any. It was more like, oh yeah, I guess I'll try that.
For me, it was all secondhand, you know, trips to Vegas. Yeah. Never had one in my mouth.
Felt like some of those trips to Vegas, I felt like I smoked.
I'm pretty sure there's a quantifiable number of cigarettes I have smoked by just being in Vegas over time. But
it's way worse.
It sounds like you smoked for a while.
Yeah, by this past November, I hit 20 years completely tobacco free.
You joined the plan. Yeah,
but
we didn't have to get Sam Jane to dance on a electrified grid.
I haven't seen her finger though.
And you know, I was a pretty bad smoker when I was in my mid 20s.
You were just bad at it.
Yeah.
Did you light the wrong end or?
It was just, you know, a lot of peer pressure, and I mean that really sincerely. Like if you're young and you go to work at a place where everybody's smoking and they're all taking a smoke break, you know,
if you work at a restaurant, everybody's going on smoke break. I want to go on smoke break. I want to go.
It's amazing how many chefs and cooks are smokers, and you know, you see it on. Yes, I do watch Hell's Kitchen, but they're always off in the dorms between dinner service, like. Chain smoking and that stuff
is
just
the only
destroys excuse, your taste buds,
your everything.
It's the only excuse that you can use while working at a restaurant that they're like, go ahead and take a break.
Yeah. Go ahead and take a break to get out. Wow,
that's interesting.
I'm here to tell you, quitting smoking was the best thing I ever did for myself in my life. You cannot, if you're a smoker, you cannot have more benefits than you will if you quit smoking. Having said that, I immediately gained 50 pounds and I've never gotten rid of it.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. Did you ever think about just having those patches full time? Just because those
apparently. No, hell no. No, absolutely not. My method was to hate tobacco and nicotine, like to hate it. Like all in one day in my life, I decided I find this despicable and I will not have anything.
Was this first segment in the film?
So you spread out all your cigarettes on the top of a desk and go.
Oh, yeah. Go all Alan King on it.
Yeah, pound them. Yeah, that's good.
That was such a great stupid moment.
It was really stupid. Did this as a smoker, and I mean this sincerely, a segment like the first part of this movie or any movie where a lot of smoking happens, does that bug you at all, or does it make you
I don't like going to casinos in Las Vegas because of it. Like, and the thing is, my My entire like life smoking as a smoker started when I was 21, and on my 21st birthday, my brother took me to Las Vegas to celebrate my 21st birthday. And then for years, I went to Vegas every chance I got. Every 2 months, I'm going to Vegas, and I loved it. And then I quit smoking one day, and then, oh, damn, casinos are terrible.
Yeah. Some of them are better now. You can go, they pipe so much vanilla air now through them that some of them are not so bad.
Yeah, I know. The Bellagio started doing that around the time that I quit smoking. They started like really pumping in the, and they were, connected via tram at the time to the Monte Carlo, which started immediately pumping some other like oatmeal smell. It's like, seriously. And it was like, oh, I kind of like this.
Yeah, I could do this. Yeah, I like that too, actually. As a, I don't have any kind of connection to smoking, but I prefer like the Cosmo just always smells so nice. I like
the Aria is my go-to, and they even had sticks like you could buy that had the smell.
Oh, you take it home with you.
Yeah.
I want to connect another part of this movie to me as a smoker.
Okay.
I can actually do that.
Please do.
During the time that I was a smoker, I liked driving around and smoking in the car. And I drove a 1977 E21 BMW.
Okay.
And James Woods is driving an E21 BMW in this movie. Nice. I don't know what year it was, but I just kept seeing him, and it's like brought me back to that, that time. And I'll bet you that car is still on the road. Though that was a bulletproof car. Like that, those E21s, you couldn't.
Yeah, but they all smell like smoke, so.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. By the way, I think I found an old clip of Randy right before he quit. Here it is right here.
What's your name, please?
I'm Mary.
What is going through your mind?
And I used to be a smoker.
Good Lord, you are in...
Why was Kermit?
I don't know. I found that. Honestly, I don't know where I got it. I have no idea. Isn't that great though? I forgot the Kermit part was even in there, but I thought it was just I'm Barry and I used to be a smoker.
I used to smoke and now I talk through this.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you quit, Randy. That's good.
Oh yeah. And I'm coming up on 21 years.
That's fantastic.
Good job.
Nicely done. All right. Let's see what else we got here. Nope, can't find any new Can you train? Okay, here's my question. This is actually a question that goes beyond the film, obviously, but can you train a cat?
Yes. For sure.
Can you?
Yeah.
Like,
you can traumatize a cat.
I feel like they don't give a shit. Sure, they like the only reason that they take so quickly to litter boxes is because they're naturally inclined to have this, this separate place to go and to bury it and to do their thing. And it's just
you're
easy
saying
for
we've
them.
Been fooling ourselves.
We've been fooling. I feel like we've been fooling ourselves. I feel like you can't train them.
If you have a cat that likes treats, you can totally train that cat to do stuff.
Agreed.
Like you can teach it to use a toilet. Like in flush.
I wouldn't, but yeah, you totally can.
I kind of want to. Why wouldn't I? That seems good. Why?
What I really enjoyed was the scene where the cat is hunkered down in the middle of a busy street. Because all you got to do is put the cat in a really tall glass box, right?
Yeah, right.
And then it's perfectly safe, and you can drive cars past it and running really close. Yeah. But I like that scene, just like, oh, that's a good cat right there. Yeah. Just cars flying by, and it's just sitting there.
A quality cat. Yeah.
The quality cat.
Also, when
I got a trope out of that.
Oh, you did? Did you? Hold on. Let me push that.
It's stupid camouflage. If someone is standing in your closet in some gumboots, they're not hiding behind some coats on curtains, on racks. Like that is ridiculous. If someone is standing in your closet, you can see the whole person, not just some of the person, the whole person.
Also, why don't you poke in there? Yeah. You know,
imagine if he had taken that umbrella and just shoved it as hard as he could right down the middle.
Right.
Oh, I just sneezed half my face off. You guys didn't hear it because I muted, but
face off.
You ever sneeze so hard? I don't know. When you're done, you feel like, okay, hold still for a second. Make sure nothing fell off or blew out.
Do I still have a nose? I'm still here. Okay.
I just had that moment. That was weird. But I hit the thing. So you didn't get exposed to it.
Yeah. Did not even have any idea.
Well, good.
Mm-hmm. This is made fun of in Scary Movie, right? The parody of Scream.
Yeah.
Right.
In Scary Movie, there's a moment where the ghost face killer hides behind a curtain. and you could see his hook, the whole hook poking out, and like you realize, oh, I could actually see the whole guy.
Read somewhere that thing's getting a reboot too. Well, if that's true, I mean, well, no, because really? Scream's already having its moment, right? It's having moment. New ones,
right? Yeah. Right.
And so there was some talk that the scary movies might reboot to in its shadow, and you know, follow up on new Scream. I don't know if they're going to do that. Seems like a bad.
Why not?
I mean, why not?
I want it. How about that?
Okay. All right. No, look, if you want it, there's a market. All right.
I don't think I ever saw anything past the first one. So maybe that's another thing I need to watch, apparently.
I don't know if they're any good.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything past Scream 1 as far as Scream movies go.
Really? You only seen the first
one? Oh, I thought you meant, I thought you meant Scary Movie.
Really? So, both of you? That's awesome.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I was talking to Scream. Did I even see Scary Movie?
I haven't. I never have.
No, I don't think I've seen any of the Scary
movies. Well, if we've only done one Scream. Well, I'm Halloween's almost over. Not that we're exclusive to this, but we should think about the Scream.
Watch something scary in November or December.
What's the Scream movie to see? Is it just the first one?
I feel like I like the first one.
Hmm.
Is it easy to sack, you think? Because it's not necessarily a parody, but it's so self-referential that.
But it gets self-referential in the second film. The first film is just a straight up horror movie.
Yeah. Okay. That's my memory of it. And then we're back to Drew Barrymore getting killed in the beginning.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And she's out of her drugs by then, I think. I think she was done that.
I want to see Scream. I think Scream 2 is
She ran plumb out of her drugs. Yeah. Wait a minute. Now that I think about it, is this only 10 years after, for her, this is 10 years after this role?
Right.
Scream,
she's on the screen.
That's weird.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
That's weird to think of.
She done grew up.
Yeah, she done grew up. All right. Speaking of her, has the phrase sugar on top ever worked for any parent ever? Has anyone ever said to their parent, please, mom, with sugar on top, and then they cave? No, it doesn't work.
Followed me home.
Bullshit.
Please keep it.
Wait, is Frank Welker in here?
Yeah, yes, that's very Frank Welker. We better play his clip.
No more Optimus Prime.
All right. Well done, Frank Welker. You guys in the mood for clips from the film?
Yeah. All right. There's going to be some good ones.
Let's do it. I got a bunch here. Let's start with this very, very 80s music intro, or very early in the film, not an intro, but when Cujo's out, here you go. I feel like every one of these 80s horror movies had that.
Okay, but you just played music from an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie like Commando, right?
Yeah. Sounds
no,
like it.
I did I not, it. But it may as well have been. Here's some more of that. I hate it. It's like,
I love that's the sound.
That is exactly what, you know, not exactly, but it reminded me of Link getting the Master Sword or some video game like accomplishment.
Yeah, like I just beat Seventh Guest on my MIDI card. Congratulations.
Oh my God, nice pull.
Man, that's rotten. All right. That's what Jim Jones said, is what I wrote.
It's going to turn your life around, Dick. I guarantee it.
That's what Jim Jones said when he spiked the punch.
Yeah, yeah. Nice reference. Yeah. Timely.
Yeah.
Timely. Here's a weird sound the guy in the waiting room makes. That's pretty good.
What was that?
He's crying and sobbing.
Yeah, when he first looked at him, he looked up at James Woods and then put his hands in his face and went like that.
Reminds me of the Alex Jones crying clip.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, which that guy.
Oh, it's this week too. We've gotten even more of it.
Like $1 billion
the new crying
clip. Oh yeah, there's gonna be brand new $1 billion crying clip.
Like, they're gonna have to find all the money.
Streaming his show as the verdicts were coming down for what he needed to pay.
Yeah,
he was live on the internet, and it was incredible. I'm encouraging you.
It's great.
It's great. And he sucks, and he needs to pay everything. I don't think he has $1 billion, but whatever he has, he needs to be freaking poor and in a shithole for the rest of his life. What does a bear do?
Does a bear shit in the woods?
Yeah, James Woods, a bear shits in the woods.
All right, so this is PG-13, and I'm going to say that word later in the show. I can't watch this with my 12-year-old, though. We started... and about halfway through the first part, he was just too incredulous to enjoy the movie.
Incredulous? Like, what do you mean? Like,
This is so stupid. Uh-oh. No one would do that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I agree with you, but that's horror movies are supposed to be check your brain at the door. And apparently there's an age before which you can do that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, look, he's a smart kid. He knows what's done.
He is. Oh, he's a very smart kid.
Very smart kid. All right. The hand, what? Something about wrists.
At no time does my hand leave my wrist.
Oh, okay. I don't remember what that was about.
That was a magic trick. He's about to like show James Woods the dancing cat. And
he had his little remote control and he was opening it.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
There's no way you built that room up to code.
Yeah.
Well, the one city inspector and that thing's gone.
Oh, that was definitely some payoff there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah. What do you say? No, this is for popcorn. I put raw popcorn kernels in here and make popcorn.
Yeah. And then I'm sure he'll get all signed off and we're all good to go. All right. Check this out. This is some audio from high school when Ibbot was going to prom. All right. I know it's weird. I've never talked about this before. But here's the weird thing. This is not the girl. This is not you. This is what the dad said. Her dad, when he heard that you guys may have, gotten a little hanky to the panky, okay? Hmm. So here's what he said.
Therefore, I would have no choice but to kill the son of a bitch.
Jeez. Oh, kill the son of a bitch. Got dark.
I thought he was going to make me get out on a ledge.
Yeah, there you go. All right,
here's my daughter's head.
Here's the left boob comment that we've been talking about. Here you go.
Using your left tip for a coaster.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's what you do.
It's great.
And then you point your left hit north.
Yep, point them north.
Yeah.
And get the hell out of Dodge, as they say. Here's one about getting ice cream.
Cindy, I'm trying to get some ice cream here, okay?
Okay, okay.
Okay, okay. Trying to get some ice cream.
Yeah, he was still a good 12 years away from the best role he ever did in Hercules, the cartoon. He was very good in that.
Oh, yeah.
I will give him credit for that. His Hades. All right,
what's legit James Woods' best role?
That one. That's it. Nothing else.
Okay, I'm asking the others then.
What is you name? Go ahead, go for it. I bet you can't find one as good as that.
The one that struck me the most, and I can't remember the name of the film, was the one he did with Sean Young, where he cheats on his wife with Sean Young, and she then goes and terrorizes him. Oh no, that was Real Life. Never mind.
It's Real Life.
I didn't.
I've also never heard of that.
I didn't see that coming. That's great.
It really was. There really was a movie where the two of them hook up, and then they hooked up in real life, and then he cut her off, and then she
stalked him and
required a cease and desist. But it really was that movie that was like, oh yeah, that was really good. I remember that movie, but what the hell was it?
Yeah. But no, you're not. What I thought you were talking about was the Kevin Costner one she was in, where that kind of happens in that movie. What was that? No Way Out or something?
Oh yeah, it was No Way Out.
Gene Hackman, but he wasn't. James Woods was not in it, though. So I don't know what there were. But you're right. It's James Woods and her had this thing.
And Sean Young had this thing, and it was a movie where...
He sued her, and it was all big.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Oh, I forgot about Videodrome with Debbie Harry and Wax on Boobs.
Oh, that's a Cronenberg deal, right?
Cronenberg. I think we watched it here, didn't we, as well?
I don't think so. I think all we've done is... Existenz for him. I could be wrong. Okay. I don't remember exactly.
I'll let the rest of you come up with your while I look for the name of the movie with
Let's see. Sean Young. I always forget James Woods was born about 40 minutes north of me in Tooele.
Oh wow.
That's weird. Oh yeah, and he's apparently retired to somewhere in northeast Utah.
Yeah.
He like has some property and I don't know where.
Yeah. And he just tweets all day. That's his job now. Let's see here. I can't find the one they were in together. It was after Blade Runner.
Right.
Which is Sean Young's, it's the one most of us think of, I guess. Yeah. I can't freaking find it. The No Way Out with Costner was.
Oh, I forgot he was in The Getaway with Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin. He was a dick in that thing, if I remember correctly. Michael Madsen, Jennifer Tilly. That was a great. Yeah. I mean, it was a piece of crap, but it would be a great film sack piece of crap.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
Well, James Woods is a real dick in this film, so
yeah,
he is.
He's kind of a dick in all his movies. I'm telling you, Hades, that's the best one. Yeah, can't find a better one. I'm sure they're there somewhere.
I'll find it. Won't be today.
All right. Someday you'll find it. Moving on to this clip. This is, what is this? This is Norma Jean.
Norma
Jean.
Jean.
Huh?
Oh, there it is.
Got some quotes around those exceptional.
Exceptional.
We haven't covered spelling yet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Here's some more swears.
It takes a son of a bitch to beat the habit. People who are unable to turn into sons of bitches on their own behalf come to us. We give them what they need. Believe me, we do.
That's some Alan King.
That's what we do.
Hey, I'm in the Catskills doing jokes.
The movie, by the way, that I was trying to remember was The Boost, and it they were a cocaine addicted couple that have all these problems, and then he afterwards sued Young for $2 million, accusing her of being a scorned fatal attraction type ex-lover.
Yeah, he was
notoriously left a disfigured doll on his doorstep. Sean Young did.
Yeah, yeah, she is known for being a little wackadoo.
Yeah,
she looks fine now. She looks like she's chilled out, but.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
And he's a dork, so whatever. They all suck. Here's a wife. I don't know what this is. Something about a wife.
You'd be down at my office watching your wife hop around in the little room.
The little room.
I like it when mobsters make things sound cute.
Yep.
Hopping around in the little room.
If you ask me what actually scared me in this movie, it was this. That scared me.
Really? Yeah, King always has a good air horn in his movies.
Yeah.
I mean, King really doesn't have much to do with this movie, but the jump scares that come from just a sound.
That was it. That one actually got me because I had headphones on. Where's my wife, you turd?
Where's my wife, you turd?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, PG-13, hold up.
Whoa, yeah. Turd.
Jeez. I know, right? Oh, it gets worse. Listen to this thug guy.
Oh, fiddly sticks.
Oh, yeah, I loved it when he said that. I heard that. I was like, oh, fiddly sticks. What do you like in the, it sounds like something out of Frosty the Snowman or something. Oh, fiddly sticks.
And I don't think he's an actor, dude. Just listen to the way he says it.
Oh, fiddly sticks.
That's just some dude.
That's hilarious, though.
At some point, Alan King also calls him a hemorrhoid.
Oh, really? Okay. A hemorrhoid? Does he say hemorrhoid with an A? Like,
hemorrhoid.
Hemorrhoid.
Like, oh, here it is right here. I got it right here. Let's play it.
Forget the cat, you hemorrhoid!
Hemorrhoid.
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 Yeah. Boy, the PG-13.
Drops a syllable or two.
Yeah. He likes just straight to hem and then roid. All right, here we got James Wood laugh. All right, that's fun.
Was he Eddie Murphy? What's happening there?
I got most of my good audio from that first segment, to be honest. The rest of it kind of peters out, but here's a do whatever you want clip.
No, I can do anything I want. You don't say a word.
Go ahead. Yeah.
You got it. Watch.
Anybody can do anything they want. Watch.
Watching me.
I'm watching.
It's when they're betting on the cat.
I'm watching.
I thought that was Vegas. That's Atlantic City?
Yeah.
Okay, because I couldn't figure out why that Caesars looks so weird, and I guess that's Caesars Atlantic City. That
makes sense. Yeah, and it said Atlantic City, New Jersey on the screen.
Oh, it did? I missed that. Okay.
Yeah.
Pigs? Something about pigs.
Pigs don't eat it because they don't know how.
Oh, that's Mike Starr.
The great Danny Aiello.
Oh, yeah. Danny Aiello doing his greatest work as Mike Starr. Here's Scared. He's scared.
All right. Anybody else want some scrutiny on the ledge with the plants on it?
Yes.
Oh, that was fun. There was a window behind it. I was worried. I was curious about it, too.
Who puts plants out there? Why would you do that?
Somebody wants them to fall on somebody's head and kill them?
Yeah.
Would you have a hose up there? Would you have a hose like that, a big power hose like that guy had?
Oh, he just pulled. Yeah, just pulled out buildings have that sometimes.
Do they?
Have,
I don't know.
Yeah, so you don't have to drag a hose up there when you need it. You just have a fire hose on the roof. That makes sense.
You know what I want to do? If I ever get someone ever breaks in, right, does a home invasion, and I'm there and I've got a gun pointed to me, I want to be on the ground going, please don't shoot me, but slowly flip through the pages of a penthouse on my
and laugh about it.
Yeah.
Ooh, look at that.
And I know Dunaway brought that up earlier, but what a weird thing. What a weird thing.
Right. The trivia, by the way, is that the short story or something that was in addition to being in Night Shift, that short story also appeared in that specific issue of Penthouse.
Interesting. Oh,
okay.
I wonder if he flits past it. That would be. I would love to see that.
He barely gets past the first page.
Yeah, he's on like an absolute
also
vodka.
Keeps it PG-13.
Yeah.
It's like an absolute vodka ad. Is all I could see.
Yeah,
and then that's not.
It'd be
sexy.
Hard to shoot somebody when they're doing that. Oh, you want to shoot me while I'm flipping through a penthouse? Yeah. I don't think you do.
I bet you don't, because what happens if I'm...
What if I can't flip page? Anymore? You won't get the stuff. You won't get to see the
magazine
stuff.
Is the July 1976 of Penthouse, which featured the short story on which the segment was based.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. But what a way to wedge it in. I'm nervous. I'm scared. I'm going to die. I'm going to flip through this magazine while I'm here. Like, that's a really weird way to do that.
It's all the right. Articles. I'm reading them for the articles.
Here are some gremlin sounds. Yeah.
I'm so glad you didn't use that for my prom audio.
Date.
Coming out of the back seat of the car, your right. Guy driving the car is like, I better record this. All right, here's this mom was weird, I wrote.
Amanda, don't touch that cat. It could bite you.
It could bite you.
She's kind of famous, though, right? I think.
She sure looked familiar, and then I looked up to see what else she'd been in.
Yeah. That's what I had too. I was like, she feels like she looks like somebody else I couldn't figure it out.
She looks Candy like, Clark, right? Yes, Candy Clark. And she looks like the mom on Home Improvement or one of those shows.
She does really good. She plays a good mom here, I think. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We've seen her in Blue Thunder. She was Kate in that. She had the main lady in that.
Did we? Yeah. Oh, she was in Simon and Simon. She was Cotton.
Yeah. She stayed busy. She's in all sorts of stuff still.
Couple episodes of the new Twin Peaks.
Oh, and, she was in Amityville 3D. I bet that's where I know her from.
Wow. Yeah. You watched that movie a lot.
Oh, yeah. Almost so I went blind.
She's been working since 72 nonstop.
Yeah.
Well done, Candy Clark. Her husband is also a guy we know, but I forgot where he's from. The guy that played her husband.
In Star Crash? Was she just a voice?
Didn't
we watch Star Crash here? Did we watch that here?
No. Did we watch Star Crash? No.
Star Crash. Yeah, I'm sure we did. That sounds really familiar. Yes.
No, we did. You're right. I always get that mixed up with Snow Crash, which is a book and not a movie. Yet. It probably will be one day.
Let's sack Snow Crash.
Stack the movie, the book Snow Crash.
Everyone spend the next year reading that book. We're going to sack it.
Here's what's cool. The guy that played the husband, Hugh, in the final segment, he was one of the humans that died on Planet of the Apes when they crash landed. Yeah. Is that cool? That's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. And he's a busy guy too. He's working, getting shit done.
Getting the shit done. Well, as long as you're talking about tertiary characters, might as well talk about, what's his name? Daniel Rogers from Troll?
Hold on one second. Candy Clark auditioned for the role of Princess Leia Organa in Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope.
Oh, man.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That means her and Harrison Ford would have gotten it on.
Yeah.
She was also in American Graffiti. It's probably where she hooked up.
Where she got her success.
Yeah. Who's from Troll? Who's from, what'd you say? From Troll 2?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Daniel Rogers played, he played the troll, but he's been in something. But Bill Hitchcock was in this terrible movie. Do you remember the Mutilator series?
No.
Did you see that?
Sounds good, though.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Does it?
It's terrible horror shit, but I love it.
Yeah. I like terrible horror shit. Here's Polly and her big pecker.
Certainly never realized that Polly had such a big pecker.
Oh, Hugh, you jokester.
Big pecker.
Oh, it's PG-13. All right, big pecker.
Big pecker.
All right, here's a final clip. Let's see, what is this? Here's where you can feel him doing music for Back to the Future. Okay, here's that clip. So this sounded like Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Just a little bit there. It's just like a taste.
Yeah. It sounded very much like Final Fantasy VII on the PS1.
Well, you're not wrong about that. Yeah. There was a video game quality to all of it. But now, this. The film sack checklist this week. We start with ankle peckers. Check. Speaking of peckers.
Yeah, I love that. How doesn't that hurt, though? I think everybody can relate. That's one of those visual pains you can go, oh, that hurts. That little bit of bleeding that was coming out of his foot from all the pecking.
Ugh. Oh, yeah. Next up, fat Vegas guy died in the most horny way possible. Get it? Vegas. Get it?
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Finally, the gigantic sets used for the goblin work surprisingly well. Check. I really like those.
Yeah.
Star Trek connections.
That you confused goblin and troll. I like that.
Yeah, I'd like that as well.
None of it's right, though. This is like a gnome. This is not
he's like
any of those words.
No, he gets dressed. He was wearing like a little jester outfit and shit. So They're more sentient than a little goblin, right?
What the hell is it?
I
need a better word to describe this thing.
It's a wall troll. They could be different sizes.
I'm going to look through my monster compendium until I find something that accurately describes this little thing.
Yeah, find out what his DC is and let's go to town.
All right.
Let's see where. Oh, Star Trek. Star Trek Connections. Grade. I have to think Reb Horn or somebody was in Star Trek, right? We got somebody.
Yeah, we only have one. It's Mike Starr, who is not Danny Aiello. In this one, Mike Starr played Ducky. You know, he's a scary henchman in the top of this building in Atlantic City. Yeah. In Deep Space Nine, there was an episode called Bada Bing, Bada Bang.
Typecast.
That is one of like the most notorious episodes of Deep Space Nine.
Yeah,
it's about the Holosuite has a programming glitch.
Yeah,
and all these Deep Space Nine folks go into Vic's, you know, casino or whatever it is, and they try to overcome the mobsters that are taking over in there.
I thought that was a TNG thing. Maybe they did one similar. Oh no, that's the one where they found the book.
Deep Space Nine had a lot of casino in the Holosuite.
Yeah,
and this was the most, like, the whole episode is in there. And Mike Starr played one of the mobsters.
He was Tony Cece in that movie or show. Tony Cece.
I think it's really, really interesting that Deep Space Nine kind of went for it in this way. Like Deep Space Nine accepts its fate. Mm. It is a Star Trek TV show. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's times when Deep Space Nine tries to be more than that, and they do it pretty well.
Yeah.
But at times like this, you know, Mike Starr. Mike Starr is just he's a mobster in a holodeck program. Yeah. Right?
You're not wrong. Mike Starr also very good in Ed Wood, if you're looking for another good performance out of that guy. Anyway, well, there's your Star Trek Connections. I'm going to give the soundtrack a grade. That grade I'm going to give it is an S for synthy. It's very synthy.
Yeah.
It's fine. Yeah. It's, you know, gets it done. Whatever. It's the 80s. You do what you do.
Enjoyed it, and I think I like Alan Silvestri, but Alan Silvestri is a bit hit and miss, and this is maybe closer to miss, I think.
I keep calling him Mark Silvestri, the artist who worked on all the Top Cow stuff, and I just keep doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
That guy's good.
He is good. That guy's amazing.
Like, when I think about Alan Silvestri as a film composer, right, you know, like, you think of, like, Forrest Gump. What a score. The themes are memorable, right? The whole thing. But he also, like, he wasn't necessary for this. Anybody who can play a keyboard was necessary for this.
Yeah, exactly. Moving on to the Twitter post. Yeah. Yeah. That's what we do. Gosh, dang, I'm out of it. The Twitter post. It's where you guys sum this thing up in 280 characters or less. And I think this week we'll just change things up and start with Randy.
Cat's eye. Scared people are scared because they're put in scary situations like fear of electrocution or fear of falling. But then they make out just fine because there's a cat. This tweet brought to you by your local cat rescue, where you can rescue a cat who will then later rescue you.
Aww. Aww. That is nice.
Aww. That was a heartwarming tweet.
That's right. Yeah. Well, let's see if Dunaway can ruin it. Brian Dunaway, it's your turn.
Totally. Never look directly into the cat's eye, 1985, while throwing away a perfectly good dead bird. I can have meow. # you about to have a lit tit for a coaster.
That thing just keeps coming up.
It does.
Yeah. That mom was throwing away that dead bird, and that poor cat's like, I'm here. I'm starving. Don't throw it away.
Yeah, exactly.
You're right about this movie.
The goat and tuna.
We didn't even talk about that. No, that's so weird. Took a picture of that because I just like goat and tuna. What the frick?
Yeah.
Tuner. Okay.
They hated birds in this movie. That's the takeaway. Hey, Brian Ibbett, it's your turn.
Cat's eye. That'll teach me to watch this movie in bed. I miss so much of it because my wife's arm was on my face.
I love, yeah. That's not cuddling.
Nope.
No, it is not.
No, that's greasy James Wood face on your arm.
Yeah.
Right. Take it off. You don't want it there. All right. It's time now for these alternative titles. Just handed to me. This was almost called The Smoker, The Joker, and The Third Bird Choker.
Oh, nice. That's pretty good.
So there's that. Then I got E.T. 2, The Space Goblin Wants Tom Green's Ex-Wife's Breath. All right, moving on. It's a little long. It's a little long. You don't want to go full length if you can help it. You want to shorten things out.
That was quote unquote exceptional.
Yeah, Scott. Very exceptional. Let's get to this email. We got two of them this week. These are emails sent by you from filmsack@gmail.com. And we got one from Pete from Austin, who says, Eddie Murphy and Star Trek is a subject. Hello, Film Sack Crackerinos.
Yeah.
Kind of hard to read.
Wow. Cool.
Love your most recent episode of The Haunted Mansion. I felt like an idiot because I never put two and two together that Wallace Shawn was the voice behind the Grand Nagus. In my defense, I was watching DS9 when I was in middle school, pre-cinephile days. Well, we understand. It says, however, I did die a little inside when you guys mentioned that Eddie Murphy could have been in Star Trek as a throwaway line. In fact, Eddie Murphy was very close to being in Star Trek four, The Voyage Home. There was a character written for him in one of the first drafts. He would have been an astrophysicist, can't read, who suspected Kirk and Spock of being otherworldly. It would have been one of the greatest Star Trek connections of all time. Keep up the great work, if I've said before, but you should sack 1995 Screamers starring Peter Weller.
Yes.
Yeah. We should. And also that I had no idea about that Eddie Murphy thing. I had no idea. That's crazy.
No, me neither.
That was the height of his deal. It was 84, I think. 85, whatever that movie
was. Who was the comedian we ended up with?
Did we get one? I know we got a lady.
Around the same character. It was in TNG. There's a comedian that...
Sam Kinison?
Oh.
That teaches Data how to tell jokes.
No, that's Joe Piscopo. Oh,
Joe Piscopo, yeah.
Piscopo, that's right.
Yep. Piscopo taught him to stand up.
I totally forgot about that.
I felt like saying Data. Keep flipping. Keep going.
Yeah, right. Keep going.
Right. Exactly. Look at follow Joe Piscopo's path after Saturday Night Live. Yeah.
You have the full history. You don't need Piscopo up there. I guess he wasn't playing himself, but whatever.
Yeah. Right.
Christopher Lee deserved better, says Dylan. SBBNR. I'm listening to your episode about the torture chamber of Dr. Sadism, and Scott starts talking about Christopher Lee's World War II military record. I can't believe he didn't mention that Christopher Lee was friends with Ian Fleming and that he was the real life inspiration for James Bond based on his service in the RAF intelligence branch. And yes, he did initially volunteer to fight the Finnish army or fight for the Finnish army in World War II. Lee also went on to play Scaramanga in The Man with the Golden Gun.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Since he showed all three of his nipples, does that make him a Bond girl, too? He says. Lee was also the only person on the set of Lord of the Rings who had actually met J.R.R. Tolkien in person. Dude got around. Used the glaive. Yeah. Dylan. Well, nice glaive reference. Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that, and that's awesome. And I didn't know that he was the inspiration for James Bond. That's insane to me to hear that.
Yeah,
I mean, that seems crazy. I need some verification on that one. That seems nuts, but maybe what am I? All I can do is believe you. Send us an email. All I can do is believe what you say. All right.
Right.
Also, use the glaive. That's it for your emails. Filmsack@gmail.com is the place to go. Here's another place to go. Support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/FilmSack. Why? Sack. Why? Because you get you never get an ad. You get free content every week that you don't get on the public feed, and a bunch of other cool stuff, including monthly shows. I got one coming up. Randy's just went up. We've done a full round of each of us plus one. So if you want to hear what those all sounded like, now's your chance. Go check it out. And those are all available in perpetuity if you join now. Patreon.com/FilmSack.
In perpetuity interests me. I thinking about it, like, oh, this Patreon, like, it'll still be around in 100 years. And
if the EMP hits and it blows out, the internet goes down, I can't guarantee anything, but
leaving a legacy for our children.
That's right.
Right. Oh, that makes me think twice about some of the things I want to say.
Well, speaking of legacy for your children, what do they look forward to watching next week here on the show? What are we seeing?
Oh, you mean in Sacktober?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's right. Next week in Sacktober, we are going to watch A Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
Yes. Is that the Warriors that dream?
Dreaming Warriors.
And that'll make three of these now? Do I have that right? New Nightmare, definitely the two. Original.
Oh, yes, at least, right? Because it's Freddy versus Jason or...
Oh, actually, that makes four then. Run. That makes four, because the original, we did the original, we did Dream Warriors, we did Freddy v. Jason, and now this, that'll be four. Wow.
Okay. Well, Dream Warriors, you said twice.
Just said Dream Warriors.
Did I say it twice?
We're not.
Yeah.
Oh, we're doing Dream Warriors.
We are sacking Dream Warriors.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
But what was the second? Did we see the second Did we see New Nightmare?
New Nightmare, Freddy v. Jason, and the first Nightmare.
That's it. Okay.
So it will be four next week.
Right.
Right?
Correct.
But only two of the real proper ones. All the rest of them are kind of, they're not really.
You like crappy, you like crappy stuff, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, folks, you're gonna go to HBO Max. You're going to type in Elm Street 3 and watch that movie, Elm Street 3.
Elm Street 3. I kind of wish we at some point should do the Jackie Earl Haley one, the new. I just want to see it. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
So watch it together, you know? We should do that.
We'll do that.
Anyway, that's next week right here on FilmSack. In the meantime, FilmSack.com is the place you can go. How do I know this for sure? Because this guy said it once. Hold on. Where is it? It's right here.
FilmSack.com.
Thank you, Scott Fletcher. That's the place. FilmSack.com is your destination. Patreon.com/FilmSack as well. And always send us those emails, FilmSack@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter @FilmSack. And if you're so inclined, please leave us a review wherever you get your shows. That'll do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Big Pecker.
We'll see you next time. Big Pecker.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Where's my wife, you turd?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.